The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world. To take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches, along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. This match is going to be a spectacle.
Mixing it up. Yeah, exactly. We kind of wedged in between, some good ones here. Not critically acclaimed. That's the best way to describe this one.
Really interesting names. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting backstory to this. I'm excited to cover it. But this is not going to be a five-star match, I have a feeling.
Definitely not. No, according to Stargiver Meltzer, this wasn't even warranted any stars. And so a lot happening here, but this just a crazy time in wrestling on this one, with the kind of split NWO factions and, whether they were trying something new on this one and it just didn't stick or it was just not meant to be to begin with because of some of the people involved in the behind the scenes. Like, we'll talk about it, but we'll just see what happens here, man.
All right. Well, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So Fall Brawl, a WCW staple. This one takes place September 13th. 1998, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Of course, we're at the Lawrence Joel Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
The Joel.
Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's like three different, usually it's one or the other, right?
Yeah, who knows, man? I was looking up to see who played there. Nobody, like Wake Forest. That was about
okay.
It.
Okay, so yep. we're on Wake Forest basketball camp. Okay,
yep.
All right, so this was quite the show.
Yep.
We start off with British Bulldog and Jim Neidhart, who are now in WCW at this point. They followed Bret Hart.
British Bulldog almost killing himself, yeah.
Yes, defeating Dancing Fools of Alex Wright and Disco Inferno. Chris Jericho is going to retain his TV title against a Goldberg impersonator. Goldberg was not happy about this in real life. We'll talk more about this during the match. Ernest Miller is going to defeat Norman Smiley in 5 minutes. Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner are going to go to a no contest. Scott Steiner was accompanied by Buff Bagwell. And 5 minutes. Hoovy is going to defeat Silver King to retain his Cruiserweight Championship. Rare for a Cruiserweight Championship to be in the middle of a show like this.
Yes, we're stuck in the middle there.
Saturn's going to defeat Raven in a Raven's Rules match in 14 minutes. Dean Malenko is going to defeat Kurt Hennig by DQ in 7 minutes. Conan is going to defeat Scott Hall with a submission hold in 12 minutes. And then the reason we're here, Team WCW. Team NWO, DDP, Roddy Piper, Warrior, Hogan, Bret Hart, Stevie Ray, Kevin Nash, Sting, Lex Luger. What a just hodgepodge. I am very curious to hear how we got to this match and these unlikely alliances were put together. And I'm sure it's going to make no fucking sense.
Nope. Yeah. So this is one you've got. I'll explain War Games itself because we got to watch this match here, but War Games itself, the format of this one is a lot different than they've done in the past. And so, instead of being two teams, sending in like their members, it was actually three teams on this one. So that's why you have the two NWO factions and Team WCW. And so, so it was two teams of four. Now you have three teams of three, but we'll talk about that in a little bit here. So I'm going to start with each of the kind of teams and kind of how they were, what was going on here in the lead up to this. It was all kind of crazy. And so, but I'll start with Team WCW on this one. You had DDP, who at this point he had a lot of feuds with NWO, you know, people turning on Page, trying to get him to join the different factions of NWO. He had the spray paint on his back. Like, you had the US title defenses. This was really the peak Diamond Dallas Page, is the best way to say it. You had the Karl Malone matches already. You had the Dennis Rodman matches already. The Jay Leno stuff, which we've talked about before on this show, like all that had kind of happened. So DDP, I say, not that Malone and, you know, Jay Leno helped him to ride high. He was riding high though. And so he was really the face of the WCW on this one. And so, you had Piper actually had come back as the commissioner for a little bit, just to kind of help, you know, protect him a little bit. So he wasn't doing as much in ring work, but, previous. So this fall brawl, like we said, the previous Halloween Havoc 1997, he actually had a steel cage match with Hulk Hogan, at Great American Bash. You had Piper and Savage losing to Hogan and Hart. And it was a tag team submission match. And then you had literally the next match on that Great American Bash, you had Piper wrestling Savage and Piper beating Savage. And so you start to hear some of the names on this one of who was involved. So like I said, you had Hogan and Hart, or you had Hogan with the Hollywood, you had Hart with the, you know, not really with anybody, but kind of on this one as well too, but him and Piper. Warrior on this one, of course, you had the one, this was just not a good time for the Warrior. You had the One Warrior Nation. When he came back at this point, it was May 1998 when he came back. He only had three matches, actually. And so we'll talk about that after. So there was your Team WCW. It was DDP, Piper, and Warrior. Team NWO, Hollywood on this one, though. Of course, you had the one and only Hulk Hogan on this one. I was looking it up. So it was actually May of 98 that he would re-sign with WCW. His contract was actually through May of 2002. As we all know, that contract didn't last that long. And so that didn't work out. But this was, you had the Hogan betraying Nash, a spring stampede. There was a no DQ match for Savage's title. And then you had Nash hitting a powerbomb on Hogan as retribution for an attack that they had. And then you had Bret Hart interfering and to help, you know, he attacked Savage so that Hogan could get the win. And so that was him getting his fourth World Heavyweight Championship at that point. And so that was really, that spring stampede was the start of the split of the Hollywood and the Wolfpack. Or, you know, the split of NWO to become the two factions. And so Hogan, of course, having Hollywood, Nash having Wolfpack, and then the feud was really through really all of 98. And so it continued on and things like that. We'll talk about how it ends and stuff like that. So he actually had a match, as we all know, with Goldberg before this as well, too. He had the Karl Malone match. And so Goldberg beating Hogan. So he's kind of coming off of that, I guess, is the best way. That was, you know, July or so, and this match taking place in September. So it's still, I'd say it's still fresh in his mind. Bret Hart wasn't ever really, you know, he may have been, you know, but so a lot of how they portrayed it was he wasn't ever really affiliated fully with any one group, but, you know, did help Hogan capture the title. He beat DDP actually for the US Heavyweight Championship. He helped, it was actually with help from the Giant on that one. He actually lost his title to Lex Luger, who we're about to talk about, in the Wolfpack, but then got it literally the next night back, or got it back the next night on Thunder. Stevie Ray, is the third kind of oddball member of this group, being in NWO Hollywood, joining the team. You know, this was, along with Harlem Heat and him breaking off and going heel with NWO at this point. Some of the research I was doing on this one, that him being on the team could have actually been like, his race was actually playing a factor on this one. And so, because when you look around the room or look around the ring, like, you know, just kind of how people were being treated. And so that could have played a little bit of kind of the craziness of why he was in this match and, you know, why he was built or, you know, why he was put in that group. So again, you've got all these people being factors. And then lastly, you have the Wolfpack. You've got Kevin Nash, of course, being the one going against Hogan and being the leader of the Wolfpack on this one. You had really everybody trying to get Sting on this one, which, you know, Sting was friends with the Giant, who joined NWO Hollywood, and Luger joined Wolfpack. And so it looked like he joined Hollywood. You know, there was the whole, he had the black and white shirt on, tore it off though. He had the red and black on instead. It was a whole thing. It was a spectacle. I remember it was a big deal. And so wearing the, you know, and then wearing the red and black face paint after this point, and, you know, the attire that signified that he was a part of Wolfpack. Lex Luger on this one, he actually joined the Wolfpack. I have May 25th, 1998. And so, of course, getting Sting to join was a big part of this. He actually beat, like I said, Bret Hart that one time and then lost it back the next night. And so, really just everybody was kind of, it was really weird. I feel like, we'll talk about during the match of how I feel like this maybe could have been booked better. There's a lot of ways it could have been booked better, but you've got everybody really in each other's universes. There wasn't a real clear, like, direct, like, you know, these guys hated these guys, hated these guys. Like, everybody kind of had their hands in everybody else's cookie jar is the best way, you know, and of kind of how they hated each other, or how it played out. And so it was really weird. That's really the best way to put it. If you just kind of had, I feel like you were picking random people sometimes, because these factions were very big. They had a lot of different members. Like, we didn't even talk about, like, Scott Hall was in Hollywood at this point. And so you had that kind of along with everything else. And so it's just weird. And we really have to watch it play out. There's really no other way to put it. And just getting into it. So, Tom, thoughts? Like I said, it's just,
I got a bunch of thoughts, but I'm going to save them for the match, because this thing's going to be every bit of 20 minutes. And I have a feeling there's not going to be a ton of action for us to call in the ring. So we're going to have a lot of other banter.
I'm glad we've got some notes here. Yeah. Because,
plenty of notes.
There will be some fun entrances here maybe, but that's about all we get. So let's just get right into it, man.
All right. So we are at the 2-hour, 27-minute mark of Fall Brawl 98, 2 hours, 27 minutes. Jeff, are you ready?
As ready as I can be, man. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
I've always been very determined. I just wonder how that all comes into play. That's the question.
All right, so I'm bad with all my WCW refs, but one of them locking it up.
Things like when he's not determined.
Pee Wee Anderson in the ring.
See, DDP and Patrick.
Yep, DDP and Patrick in the ring. DDP and Brett in the middle here.
And he also could be the man that prevails here.
Getting into, like, you know, what this War Games is and kind of how it came about. And so, like I said a little bit here, so it was actually since 1987. The rules were the two teams sending one member in the cage to start the match. After 5 minutes of action, a coin flip would determine who would send in the second man, giving the team an advantage. Every 2 minutes, a member from the opposing team would enter, and so on and so forth until all men are officially in the match. The finish only comes when one team can make a member of the opposing team submit or surrender. And as someone was describing it in one of the articles,
that can't happen until everyone's entered, right?
Correct.
Which
and
is so stupid. But
and so as the article I was reading said, quote, simply right. They're simple, right? Not in 1998. And said the rules changed that year. Instead of two teams of four, it spread to three teams of three. The match could be won by any member of any team at any time, regardless if all men have entered, and pinfalls was an option to win. Finally, the wrestler who scored the decision, not the team, would receive a World Heavyweight Championship match the next month at Halloween Havoc against Goldberg. Was the match really about the teams, though? And so as a reminder, the only person who scored the decision gets the title shot. So why would any of the teams actually work together? WCW went out of their way to emphasize that while there are three teams of three, it really was every man for himself. Yeah. Like, what the hell? And so literally, like, we're watching the clock. We've got about 2:55 left here before the next person enters. You only got Brett and DDP. Maybe he had some weird, you know, doesn't kick out Eva Marie type thing. And like, you know, Brett loses or something. Like, it's just really weird how this whole thing was set up. Well, you've got the teams, like, it should make perfect sense. You've got three teams of Wolfpack, Hollywood, WCW, but like, also, why aren't you starting with three people in the ring? Like, why not have, like, I just got so many reasons why this match was booked fucking terrible.
Yeah. So there's so many things to hate about this, right? You have these three teams versus two teams. Then you have this weird thing where it's like, I mean, think about this. Like, and again, I know there's like gray areas of wrestling, but like the NWO, are they all heels? NWO Black and White, are they all heels? Yeah, but then they were cool, but then the cool guys went to the Wolfpack. So then is the Wolfpack, are they baby faces? But then WCW has heels and baby faces. So like there's baby faces in there. DDP, Warrior, Piper, these guys are good. Bret Hart's bad now. He was bad in WCW, but then he was good when he came here. You know, it's just so funny because like I hear Eric Bischoff just blame WCW's failures on Time Warner and, oh, they couldn't be rated R like WWE, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, man. Like your booking sucked. I mean, think about this. Right. We're now over 2 years into the NWO. And I know the NWO is great, but like, did it have to last for 2 years? And it lasted for like 4 years. It lasted right up until WCW went out of business or whatever. So, you know what I mean? Like it was just, it went on way too long. And then obviously they watered it down too much. But in this little time period, you had baby faces and heels everywhere. You didn't know who to cheer for or not. Like Hogan was kind of a good guy, like cool baby face with Hall and Nash, but then they're separated. I think at one time Hall and Nash were on separate sides. Hall might have been NWO Black and White.
That
and
was at this time they were.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just like it's so stupid and hard. So like you as a fan, like think about all forms of entertainment. Like we want to know who to cheer for and who to go against, right? And even if like they're bad, you still cheer for them. Like Walter White in Breaking Bad, you love the guy even though he was a bad guy and you rooted for him. It wasn't like they made this way too difficult to watch. Like if I'm a fan, like I don't even know what I'm like watching or cheering for right now. It's just so difficult. So that then the War Games thing of like what am I watching right now? Well, I'm watching DDP and Bret Hart wrestle, but nothing's going to happen because – like what, you know what I mean? Like, okay, they're just killing time. Now we've got Stevie Ray coming to the ring and he's with Bret Hart.
Yeah. And so he is a part of Hollywood. So you now have one WCW and two Hollywood people in there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and we could go on and on, but you get the idea that like, it's just, this is, oh, so now it's 90 seconds until the next guy.
Yeah, so it starts at 5 minutes and now it's 90 seconds. Yeah.
Oh,
and
so okay. I mean, whatever. You guys get the idea. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I often think about like how would you book the NWO differently? I mean, the obvious one is kept it to a faction of, you know, five or six people max. You know, less is more with that. And then if you were gonna do the red and black and the white and black, I actually don't hate that. But do it in a way where the lines are better drawn, you know? So it's just, it was just brutal, brutal.
Well, and if you're looking at this on paper back in 1990, like even 1998, we can definitely say it today. Like if you look at all the people that are in this match, who like even before this started, who's taking the pin? Like it's pretty obvious. Like you have to protect everybody and try and tell that story. Now I was trying to think of like, how do you at this point, like, you know, get to the next step. If you know that Goldberg is kind of, you know, the goal here of what they're going for, like, you can't tell me, do you leave one of these people out? Do you have him go against somebody else? Like, it just makes no sense of why this, the kind of the win here had to go toward you get a shot versus Goldberg. Like, you know, and so, okay. So now we have our first Wolfpack member in the red and black Sting, kind of running, and Stevie Ray right away, kind of beating him down. So, it just like, it's just such bad booking of trying to figure out like, okay, so now, yeah, again, so now you got both Hollywood guys going against each of the other guys, but okay, even still, like, so, okay, so Sting can real quick pin Stevie Ray here and he gets the title shot. Like, it just, it's so weird thinking like why this was the format that they decided was going to be best. Late start on the clock there for 90 seconds, but we finally got it going a little bit.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, this is just, you know, and then another piece of it too. And I mean, this is just cage matches in this era, but, you know, without a camera inside, I think that's what really helps Hell in a Cell is you can have one camera inside, you know, and I don't know, maybe they have two sometimes, but just enough so that, you know, you're not staring through a cage the entire time.
Well, and credit where credit's due, like, nobody likes Kevin Dunn, we all know that, but they, for WWE in the War Games, they do have that guy in between the two rings, and he, yeah, like, they have it like blacked out in him too, and so, and they, to credit where credit's due, they do a good job of cutting it, so you don't ever, you don't see him very often. You do, you know, the camera person's there, and there's, of course, going to be
shots. Yeah, I totally forgot about that, yeah.
But that person's there, and again, and but also credit to the XFL, like the overhead cameras for like Elimination Chamber and kind of looking down on that. Like, hard to argue the presentation of that. At this time, they just didn't know how to do that. Like, how do you get someone? Even the ring looks like really, like the paint job on it looks really janky. You can see, like, looking at, like, it looks like it's not even fully on the ring mat, like how it's kind of like angled down if you're looking at it. Like, it just, it looks really, you can see that whole kind of cage wall shifting a little bit when they hit it. It's just really weird.
Piper, coming,
Piper coming out.
Looks pretty, yep, good.
It does look good, yeah.
Yeah, that WWE War Games ring, you know, I love it for two reasons. I love that they have the top open, because then you don't, I mean, you can just do more. I mean, you can see these guys, like Bret Hart can barely jump off the second rope. There's just a lot less you can do with the roof. But then the other thing too is they built it where they have like the top of the cage. I mean, you can easily walk on top of it. So there's been just some badass killer spots off the top of there, because you, yeah, can easily stand at the top and you can go, you know, as high as you want here. So again, this setup kind of sucks compared to what, you know, you see now in this match. I mean, this has been like, Jeff, the best way I can describe this is like, imagine like a Royal Rumble where they're just killing time, like nothing, unless I've missed something, but I'm staring at my screen. Like, all that I'm seeing is just like people killing time and throwing punches.
Well, right? Piper is on DDP's team and he's attacking him. Like, he's one of the first people that he was attacking. And so he used Brett and DDP, or Brett and DDP headbutt, and now they're both punching each other. Like, it makes, it's already like, we don't even have everybody in the ring, and this is making zero sense for why would they be attacking each other? Like, I get it, it's for the title, but like, it immediately negates all the teams. So you got Stevie Ray kind of falling between the rings. That's something else is they have since fixed. They've got that kind of covered as well too now, so they can actually kind of stand in between there. There is open air there between the two rings, which feels kind of weird.
Oh yeah, that's a good point too.
Yep. I mean, the cage is there, but they don't have any like kind of wood or anything that's kind of, you know, prevent like anymore. They'll stand there and do spots and stuff from there, moves and stuff from there. Right now, they're stepping over about what looks like to be like about a 6-inch gap at least. Maybe
it just shows you how reckless they were. Remember, Bulldog's career basically got not ended, but he got really hurt. Remember when he got backdropped on the ultimate
trap door.
But yeah, I see that now. That gap is pretty massive. Again, it'd be easy to just trip over it, or you can't really do anything in between those two rings.
Well, and so now we've got Luger's out here. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6 people in the ring, and they're all now Luger and Stevie Ray are in the other ring, but it looks bad too now. We're zoomed out Okada style now, way back on the hard cam, just to see kind of what's going on. But like you said, everybody too is just kind of it's like a bad action movie with people punching the air. They just don't know where to go or kind of what to do. And just kind of rolling around. It looks bad. Is there a bright spot here? Well, we've been shitting on this match now for what feels like 20 minutes already, but
if I had to put bright spot, I'd say that, the star power, look at who's in there.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray doesn't really make any sense, but otherwise, you got some great Hall of Fame. It's so obvious how little that Bret Hart gave a shit about his wrestling career at this point. For as much pride as he had in his work and as much as he cared, he just did not care. And I mean, obviously can't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
So
in a big sting spot there, we didn't see Luger's doing something too. We can't see half of what's going on.
Best war games ever, according to a list put together by the Sportster. 10 was the 2020 NXT match, which was just awesome.
Yep.
Undisputed era. 94 war games. I don't know who is in it, but Dusty Rhodes is wearing a Nasty Boys t-shirt in the picture I'm looking at. The 97 version of this, which I believe was NWO and Horsemen. 89.
Yep.
2018 NXT. God, they've been doing that for longer than I remembered. The 87 one, the 19 women's NXT one, the 91 2017 NXT, and then the top one ever was the 92 one. So, there's some decent ones in there, but here's Hogan coming in. And those NXT ones, none of them have been bad. They've all been pretty damn good matches.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at here too. We do have it on our list. Let's see. You said, I was curious too. So that 94 one, it was Dusty Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, and the Nasty Boys versus the Stud Stable of Terry Funk, Arn Anderson, Bunkhouse Buck, and Colonel Robert Parker with Meng. There you go. So Hogan is not supposed to be in the ring here. Nash came out, but Hogan still kind of came out. He's hitting people. What's he got there? Can't tell. Slapjack. Yep, he's just kind of hitting and they're taking everybody out. Yep. And so you got Hogan and Stevie Ray working together. That's something that you hear all the time.
Right. Yeah.
But also too, they just chop blocked Brett. Stevie Ray chop blocked Brett to take him out. So I don't know, man. It's just, they make it hard to follow, more than anything. Yeah, Nash is laid out. I don't even know what happened there. Stevie Ray, obviously no DQ rules here too, because using of the weapons. Charles Robinson, yep. So there's your other ref. So the Nash is just laid out right now. And so is this Hogan? What's he doing here? You can't even see what he's doing because the camera angle is so tight on him.
Yeah, I know. It really is, huh?
Hogan going for a leg drop on him and getting it. Just weird. And so that's playing into the feud that these guys had with the kind of
break. Who's left? Warrior?
Warrior, yes, is the only person that's not out there.
Deservedly so.
Could have chanted this match sucks though.
Yeah. Either way, yeah. I couldn't tell if it was Hogan's. Yeah, Hogan's.
Here
sucks,
comes what? The
he went to a cover and the brings fill up with smoke.
He's covered in smoke. 50 seconds on the
he is
See, this was before they wrestled at Halloween.
The Warrior
Cup,
got
right?
to his feet, yes. but that's all.
So okay. this is the Warrior had already debuted, but this is this is before he wrestled that match.
Yeah, he's got a promo that he's going to cut here. So now the ring's filling back up with smoke again. This was the, we'll say it in a second, the fake Warrior or the imposter Warrior. And so because.
Oh, that wasn't him?
No, because you're about to see. Yeah.
Wait a minute. How did he do that? I don't care. I'm just glad he did it. The Warrior's won!
A supernatural.
Yeah, they really went heavy with the supernatural stuff. Man, you can say whatever you want about the Warrior, but fucking guy looks like $1 million right here.
Yeah, he really does.
I know he couldn't wrestle, but man, like, it's a shame. You know, it's like if WWE would have been able to use him better, like around WrestleMania 12, you know, use him better and he would have had a better attitude. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into it, but I mean, the guy still looked so good. He was still so over.
So you got Nash has been laid out for 5 minutes from a leg drop. Everyone is just laid out. You got Hogan on the outside of the ring now, and the cage getting relocked so he can protect himself. You got Warrior beating up Stevie Ray, and everybody else is just literally laying around. Like, and so
let's see what the Warrior's reaction is.
Did he say knock him out or lock him out?
I don't know what he said.
Look at the Warrior. I've never seen him look in better shape. If he wants to, he'll rip his cage down.
He's they're all standing, but. Again, I think it's just a situation where people don't know what to do.
Right. You've got Luger and Sting kind of just laying there. Hogan looking at
Warrior and Bret Hart on opposing sides. I mean, it's the only time you would have ever saw them wrestle, probably.
So the match is pretty much stopped now because Hogan is walking around. He's on, if you're looking at from the hard cam side, he's on the right side, now the back side of the ring with the cage. And Warrior's just kind of stalking him. There's no match going on at all. Warrior trying to break the cage now to.
In that, I didn't even see. I haven't seen him do anything. He's out. By the way, Jeff, thumbs up one reader, thumbs down 112 readers. So this had 99.2% thumbs down. Oh, yep. Warrior, is he breaking out of the cage?
Warrior has broken the top corner of the cage to go after Hogan.
He peeled the cage back.
Pretty tall.
Cool spot, but like.
I've never seen anybody tear their way out of a cage and get down on the floor and continue to fight.
And so now the police are breaking out. Literal police are breaking these guys up.
Hogan's gone. He's running away from Warrior.
So you got Brett, DDP's trying to stand up.
This was by far the worst match on the show, according to the readers of The Observer.
It was hands down, yep.
Whether Fall Brawl set a new standard for awful and pay-per-view is debatable. What isn't debatable is it was near the top of any list for the worst pay-per-view wrestling shows ever.
He's not even covering it.
Two! Diamond Dallas! Diamond Dallas! Diamond Dallas wins!
The winner That's of the it. War game!
Listen to the crowd.
Dallas.
I barely hear him.
He gets the title shot against Goldberg at Halloween Havoc.
Well, he worked his tail off.
Here come the boos.
He was the first one in that ring, and he worked his tail off.
Wow. So weird. Everybody's still just laid out. Luger hasn't moved.
With Hogan
Sting's not moving.
Getting the better of him.
What were they down from?
Hollywood Hogan.
I don't even know.
Pulling him out of the cage as well. And it left Diamond
Piper's
Dallas
laying there.
To pick up the pieces and put Stevie Ray down.
Nash is still dead.
The Diamond Cutter in the win.
I mean, these fans are like, are you kidding me?
What an event.
Shows you what the meaning of fear really means.
Plus, if you went there to watch Hogan and Warrior, you saw Warrior for 2 minutes. You know, Hogan was in there a little bit longer, but then they all ran out to the back.
It's into the fans.
Well, and who got the most action in that match? It was Stevie Ray. Like, what the hell? Like, that's what you paid your money for? Like, and I was looking, I was kind of checking our notes here. This was a sellout of 11,528 is what they're saying. But look at all the empty seats. Well, that's behind the hard cam there, but there is some empty seats there.
Well, here, let's jump into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Dude, I mean,
like, I don't know, man.
here's the thing. It's like, and this is the thing, like, okay, a couple thoughts. Like, it didn't have to be a great match, but like, it didn't have to suck that bad. Look at who was in the ring. Like, yeah. These guys know how to wrestle. They're over with the fans. Now, are you still watching this?
Well, it's off the air now.
Oh, never mind. I think I'm... Oh, it's something different. It's like on Peacock. It's different. It's like a random... But through, it's Booker T and Kevin Nash's steel cage match is what I'm watching on here. But it just like randomly showed. I was like, what am I looking at? So anyways, yeah, I don't know, man. Like it, everything about that, the booking, the wrestling, the effort. Like, again, you go to that show and you're like, holy shit, I get to see the Ultimate Warrior. And then he comes running out. You don't even get the full entrance. And then he's gone 2 minutes later. Like, and you know, it's not like after they went off the air, they sent the fans home happy. I'm sure they didn't do that. So that's the thing is like WCW just jerked around the fans so many times. Eventually it's like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm certainly not paying $30 or $40 for a pay-per-view. Right.
Well, and it just, again, on paper, like it makes no, like gifts. There's so many ways that could have been booked better. Like, and maybe it could
so many ways.
You know, maybe it was how they have themselves in the corner. They knew what the direction they wanted to go, and they just didn't have any other choice but to have people just literally laying around. Now, that was a 20-minute match that felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's like, what's still weird about it. I was there's a lot more stuff I had to even talk about.
We watch 30-minute matches sometimes that feel like 30 minutes. That was a 20-minute match that I was like, wait, that's it? Like, what the hell? So. Get into what happened here. Like, let's talk because this will kind of answer some of the questions of why. And so at Fall Brawl of here, you know, you had Paige winning this War Games main event to get a world title shot against Goldberg, being like, this was the WCW 1998 match of the year, Paige losing it. But as we all know, though, not everybody even got to see it. And so it was literally like the next night on Nitro where they showed that match in its entirety. Trivia for you too, Tom, and for the listeners at home, this was the last time that Nitro ever beat Raw was this re-airing of DDP and Goldberg.
Yeah, that's right. Cause the night they re-aired the match cause it went off the air and yeah. Okay. So that was it. So again, to my point, you jerk your fans around, off long enough, and now it's okay. We're finally done. This was the era, almost the week.
Yep. And so that match taking place would have been about 6 weeks after this, and so we've got that one on our list for later. We're not gonna, we'll talk about it a different time. But Piper on this one, and so he actually went on to win the U.S.
By the way,
title.
Goldberg was just on Jericho's podcast and said that was his favorite match of his career.
Oh, the DDP match? Yeah. Huh? I thought he was watching this War Games with us. Like, terrible.
Oh, by the way, where was Goldberg on this show?
Yeah, you where was Goldberg? Yeah.
I'm on it. He's your hottest guy.
Yeah, very good point. And so undefeated guy with a belt. Yeah, and So Piper, and so February of 1998, that's where he beat Brett for the U.S. championship. So a couple months after this, about 6 months after, he actually held it for 2 weeks until he lost it to Scott Hall at Super Bowl IX. And so Warrior ended up cutting a promo. Bischoff has talked about this before too. It's supposed to be just a one block of the show, cutting the promo. He ended up going about 25, 27 minutes, cutting this promo. Bischoff had, he said too, I kind of went back and listened to, he kind of read some of what he said at the time. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, it's the Warrior. Like, I get it, but also like, you know, and also like to have somebody you know, take over the show like that. But he's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not going to cut the guy's mic. And so, you know, just kind of crazy. And so they're kind of dealing with that. And so, like I said, Warrior only had three matches at this point. And so just kind of crazy. So that was your team WCW. Team Hollywood at this point, of course, he did go on, like we said, to have the Halloween Havoc match with Warrior, which we've covered before. Absolutely awful. Like, just, you know, it's interesting to watch just because of just how bad it was. I feel like you and I have ventured into some bad WCW lately. And so it's reminding me why the company didn't make it. And so, because of course, then in January, you had the championship match against Kevin Nash, whereas we all know the finger poke of doom and then the reuniting factions of the NWO. Brett on this one, of course, he had a little back and forth, you know, with Sting, and then they had a feud, but really, you know, the NWO not really playing much into that, because he did kind of leave the NWO. Stevie Ray ended up getting back together with his old partner, Booker T, feuding with a bunch of different people, Bam Bam, the Wyndhams, Jersey Triad, which was Bam Bam, Canyon, and DDP. They ended up being 10-time tag team championships by the time it was all said and done. We already talked about Kevin Nash and kind of how that played out there. And then we had Starrcade with him having the match with Goldberg. And so this was, again, post or pre-finger poke, you know, of him, the cattle prod, all that nonsense, which we've covered as well on the show. And then Sting actually paired up with Bret Hart at Halloween Havoc. The two of them not paired off, but yeah, squared off to have a match. And so they had been feuding a little bit. And so it was just kind of crazy. But then it was actually March of 1999. So again, about 6 months later, where Sting came back with the Crow gear as well, too, going back to the white and black and having that. And so, and finally, Lex Luger, he ended up kind of helping Sting win a title back in or up in September of 1999 for the following Fall Brawl. And then he was actually repackaged as the Total Package, actually beating Sting, beating the Total Package that December of 1999 in a 5-minute match, which was, oh boy, not great. So it really, like, I'll say the top people here, well, I'll save it for my score, but the top people here thrived, and we knew what was happening behind the scenes, especially like Hogan and Nash and stuff like that. And then everybody else really just didn't. And so it's the best way to put it. So I was very interested on the rankings on this one, like you and I had talked about. So Team WCW, Page was 4, Piper was 142, Warrior wasn't ranked. Hollywood Hogan was 53, Brett was 40, Stevie Ray coming in at a gentleman's 203. The Wolfpack, Kevin Nash, 39, Sting, 12, Luger, 29, which would have made sense because them being ranked the best. So, a lot of write-ups on this one here, a lot of thoughts. And so it says a lot about this company that this was WCW pay-per-view's debut of the man better known as Ultimate Warrior. Yet not once had the announcers even mentioned it, let alone made a big deal out of it. The torch on this one said War Games could have been used to elevate a number of wrestlers and build several intriguing storylines. Never in WCW has there been more star power in one match outside of the jumbled messes that have been the World War III Battle Royal. There were so many intriguing matchups and personality conflicts to play off of. It should have been seen by WCW's bookers as a goldmine of opportunities. Instead, two things were established. One, Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior is the main feud in WCW. And two, nobody and nothing else matters. Hogan's self-preservation instincts is so remarkable, it's worth studying. It's not an admirable trait since his actions actually limit WCW's success, but it's fascinating nonetheless. They talk about the rules change on this one. Page victory was about as anticlimactic and overshadowed as a main event finish can get. He celebrated in the crowd, but the crowd was more shell-shocked than pleased with what they just saw. This was a fourth of a star. We already talked about the thumbs up, thumbs down here, and it was a lot of thumbs down. That one guy must have been drunk and hit the wrong button that voted for a thumbs up on this one. And so absolutely the worst match by every stretch of everything. And so when the best match, second best match is Chris Jericho versus a fake Goldberg, like that's how you know that you did something wrong here. So, of course, Meltzer, whether Fallbrawl set a new standard for awful and pay-per-view is a debatable issue. What isn't debatable is that it was near the top of any list of the worst pay-per-view shows ever. It featured a main event so bad that it was even worse than people's imaginations would have been of the Jay Leno match, when the possible exception of the triple decker cage match a few years ago at an uncensored and perhaps some Andre the Giant matches for the end of his career, this may have been the worst pay-per-view main event of all time. About 20 minutes of bad wrestling made worse by a finish that simply defied description. Unlike previous WCW shows with bad main events, this didn't have anything on the undercard with the exception of the Raven match that remotely saved it. It featured four other matches that would have won worst match on any, quote, normal bad pay-per-view show. After the match, the live crowd was pissed about the match. The Warrior gimmick, which is dying in every city, and the night in general booing heavily and throwing things at the announcers. This was one for the record books, giving pretty much a record negative 4 stars. So we got a fourth of a star, which generous. We've got negative 4 stars. Tom, what are you feeling here?
I mean, a payoff score, I'm a 1 out of 10.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. End of story. Like, it's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as anything we've watched. I can't figure out if it was a little bit better because at least the star power was good, or if that makes it worse considering how bad it was given the star power. But either way, hated it. Awful. The fact that people had to spend a lot of money on it, like, is sickening. And again, this was it. It was like, all right, how many times am I going to let you, you know, screw with me, let me down to the point where it just pisses you off, you know? And it's like a lot of people that were watching WCW during this era, you know, WCW got really hot with guys that were like 14 to 18 years old. Okay. Somewhere in that range around like 96, 97. Okay. By 98, it's like they're in college, you know, or they're out of college. And it's like, I don't need this shit anymore. I'm done with WCW, right? Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, if I still want to get my wrestling fix, many of them just stop watching wrestling at all. But the ones that wanted to watch, oh, I'll just go watch, oh, I don't know, D-Generation X, Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, Undertaker, guy getting thrown off the cage. Yeah, that shit's way cooler than this.
Yeah, after watching this one and just kind of like, you know, what should have happened, like, you know, because we have to have our notes. And so I'm reading the reviews, like, you know, I'm doing all my research to make sure I know what's happening and stuff like that. And then after watching this one, first time ever, I can't give it anything other than a 0. As long as we've been doing this show, like, it was way worse than anything I could have imagined. And so I don't understand, like, whether it was the hubris, whether it was just like, you know, Hogan being so over involved, like, who knows, but like so much potential just absolutely squandered in a match that, like, but like they could have pulled you and I out of the crowd and we could have been in that match because, you know, we had two or three guys that took one like move and they were down for 15 minutes. So I just, like, you know, I don't get it. It makes no sense. Like it, you know, sure, it was a stepping stone for other things, I guess, but were those other things great? No, because the stepping stone it led us to was a Warrior and Hogan match that should have never happened. And then, you know, same with like DDP Goldberg, we should have had a wish that had given, you know, the respect maybe that it deserved. And I know I'm the notable Goldberg, you know, like anti Goldberg fan here, but like, you know, at least like that match could have done something. And then even if it did though, it got shit on with, you know, the cattle prod and then the finger poke. It just Like, who knows? It just, I don't get it. It makes no sense. So I have to give it a zero. I know it's a first time ever. Twitter, you're welcome. It was that, like, other than what was the match we turned off, this was terrible. Yep.
Oh, horrible.
Okay.
All right. Well,
next week we got,
we're going from a horrible match to a great match, aren't we?
Yeah, we got your boy here. I knew what I was doing when I scheduled this one too. And so next week should be more fun with In Your House 10. We're going to Mind Games. We're doing Mankind versus Shawn Michaels, which, you know, it had its highs and lows too, but should be much better than this one. I'm actually looking forward to that one. I know your boy Shawn Michaels. If we don't do a Shawn Michaels match at least once a month, Tom gets antsy with me, and so we're making sure we're hitting our quota for this month. And so good. It should be good. So
you know when we're gonna run out of great matches?
When?
Never.
You know what? I that was something I was thinking about, man. At this point it's September, and I was thinking to myself, like, you know, it's time to start looking at that 2023 calendar. Like, what are we missing? Like, what did we not do last
year?
We're doing
an episode next March that is the entire Iron Man match.
We're gonna do it.
We're just gonna do one straight audio. We're just gonna start the match and we're gonna talk about the build, talk about the match, and then at the very end, we'll give our payoff scores.
That's fine. We'll just get some beers and we'll kind of sit and do it. And it'll be great. And so, so we got things to look forward to. And then a week after, we're going back to TNA. We've heard you. So let us know though, the matches you want to hear, whether it's this year, 2023, we're going to make sure to cover that stuff. Also, don't forget to our sponsor, our wonderful sponsor, manscaped.com, sticking with us through all of this, supporting us, we love them, they love us. And so using that promo code, it's payoff 20, you get 20% off, free shipping, whatever you want. Doesn't matter, in the store. It's time for a new product. They've always got good stuff coming out. It's getting a little bit colder now. We're going to be inside. So let's make sure, we're spending a little bit closer time with our partner, that we're looking good, we're feeling good, smelling good, shaved well, all that good stuff. And so payoff 20 at manscaped.com for 20% off, free shipping the entire store. So, all right, Tom, good stuff. Not the match, but you and I hanging out. I always like hanging out with you and I, man, but that's all right.
You know, it's a testament to the friendship that we can watch some of the worst wrestling matches in the history of wrestling and still have a good time.
Absolutely, man. Cool. Let's at least send them home happy.
Yeah, fun episode. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.